Now for the shiur itself. So, piyutim. I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands as to whether people like piyutim or not. right off the bat, you can get people into trouble. Take a look, though, at source number one in the Rambam. Source number one is a tshuva of the Rambam, tshuva Resh Zayin. And this is a really funny thing. Just actually, even before we look at this tshuva, I want you to notice source number one, and then source number 13, number 14, number 15, and number 16. Those are all tshuvos of the Rambam to people who asked him in one form or another, but basically the same question of, is it okay for us to say piyutim during davening? Why did you have, what was it, 5 different tshuvos on the topic? People keep on asking him this question. So you could look at it and say, Dal Nakav Zechus, the answer is there are a lot of communities that are dealing with this issue in the 12th century, trying to figure out whether we do piyutim or not. However, once you see what the Rambam wrote in source number one, I think you are going to agree with me that there's a distinct possibility that people knew the Rambam had a hang-up regarding piyutim, and they just wanted to bother him. They wanted to get a rise out of the Rambam. So we're just going to keep asking him this question. Watch what he says here. She'ela, the question is put to the Rambam. Mayomar hadras morenu v'rabenu Moshe harav hamuva kapati shechazak yechid hador ukilo mi mizrach shemesh v'ad mevo'o yorum hodo v'yigdal kvodo v'hi elokim misa'ado. All of these honorifics for the Rambam as we ask him this question. Our master, the great hammer, the lone leader of the generation whose wonders go from east to west and so on and so forth. May Hashem help him. Bidvar Mashanoagu Achazan and Lomar Divrei Shir Vizula Samina Piyutim. The practice of the Chazanim to say words of song and other poems, Mimashu Shir Chazanus, the songs of the Chazanim, O Shavach Labore, praise to the Creator, Simcha Lachasan, or to gladden a Chasan on the Shabbos of either the Alpha or the Sheva Brachos, O Labal Mila, Be'emza Brachos, Asher Kodim Kriya Shema Ula Achareha, before Shema, during those Brachos that precede Shema, or after it, B'shach Zubarbis, morning, evening, O Balelos Hamoadim, or Anyant of night. Uva Arbis bimei hamoadim, and at Mariv on Yom Tov night, ein yacholim bnei ha'adam lahavdil ben habrachos v'apiyut. You practically can't tell the difference between where the piyut is and where the brachos are. Hamutar lomar zos beemtza habrachos aachareihen. Are you allowed to say them in the middle of the brachos, after the brachos? Avodim ischilu akadish achrei v'hurachum. Right before kadish, after v'hurachum. Clearly, we're dealing with Sparta, and it's the Rambam you're talking to. The Yomar Mashi Tzarech Elav Acher Kach Yaskel B'Brachos V'Yikra Kriyashma B'Tzibur. Can you say the piyut then, and then start Birchos Kriyashma? Ha'im Zemuter Otiyami Raso Asura Legamri, or is that prohibited? Im Lav or not? Yoreinu Hadraso Ketzad Yesh Lasos Bazeh. Long-winded question. And then it goes on with a separate question about a bracha that someone had invented. So the Rambam writes a very short answer on this point. He says, Tshuva, Haro'i shelo lomar davar midivrei hasher ha'ele b'tvila. You should not say any such songs in your davening. V'im ein ha'amon rotza elela omram. And if the masses only want to say them, V'yad ha'ba'arut ala elyona. What is ba'arut? What is ish bar? It's a fool. Barus is foolishness. He says if foolishness is on the ascent, Yehezek kodem berchus kriyashma. Do it before berchus kriyashma. V'lo yosifu davar b'shum panim be'etzam ha'brachos. You have no business adding to the brachos. V'lo yosifu b'neim u'bein kriyashma. Do not interrupt between the brachos and shema. What do you think you're doing? The Rambam has no patience whatsoever for these piyutim that people are sticking into the brachos. Now here he doesn't actually say what his problem is. We know that he doesn't like the hefsek issue, but even if it's not a hefsek, even where it's not an interruption, the Rambam calls it foolishness. So we need to understand what the Rambam's objection is to saying piyutim. We also should talk a little bit about what he's referring to when he says piyut here. We need to know what piyutim are. But the goal of this year is just give us some introduction into the issues that surround piyutim and this ancient debate that went on, really between Ashkenaz and Sfard, in which we will see Sephardic voices saying, don't say piyutim, And Ashkenazim saying, oh, these are very nice. They enhance our tefillah. They're wonderful, which leads to the machzor that, you know, that that Ashkenazim have today. So let's go through the origins of piyutim. The art of introducing piyutim is very, very old. It goes back to Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Gemara. The piyut is not some modern innovation. It's a very old concept. Rabbeinu Tam is well known in his argument that it goes back to the Tanoim. Right? You've heard the discussions about the identity of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is perhaps the most famous of the Paitanim. Right, well known for his various works. Rabbeinu Tam argues that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was none other than Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Shimon. Now, you, Ali, because you were at the shir yesterday, know that there's an awful lot to say about Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Shimon, right? Because he was in the Gemara Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Amud Beis. The Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Shimon, first of all, who is the Rabbi Shimon? Who is his father? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Shimon is the one who hid in the cave with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai for a dozen years, came out and burned everything that he saw and was, you know, sent back into the cave. But in the Gemara Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel, he is in the employ of the Roman government catching Jewish thieves, right? You saw, you were there yesterday. I don't know if you were there for that year.
I wasn't there for that.
You weren't there for that year. Okay. But you were right. So he works for the Roman government catching thieves and sending them away to get killed. Well, now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, he has another life as a Paitan. And not just a Paitan, but the Paitan. He is the name in early Piyutim. Take a look at source number 2. This tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam appears in a few different places. It's quoted in the Machzor Vitri. It's also quoted in the Shibboleth Halakhet Tshuva Chavtas. But I brought you the Machzor Vitri edition of it just because it was what I had at hand at the moment. Rabbeinu Yaakov Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Yaakov Rabbeinu Meir is Rabbeinu Tam. Right, his first name was not Tom. Rabbeinu Tam's first name was Yaakov. So Posek, he ruled the Bechol Yudches Brachos Yachol Adam L'Chadesh. He said you could add in each of the 18 brachos, Bein Dvarim Shein Hodo, Tfila, whether you're talking about adding thanks and prayer to Hashem, Bein Dvarim Shein Tzrachav, or things that are asking for your own needs, Ho Lumei Ein Abrachol L'Chadesh, because you're just innovating something that is of the essence of the bracha anyway. That's the position that Rabbeinu Tam takes, and that's what I always tell people. People ask this question all the time. How is tefillah going to be spontaneous? The Gemara in Bracho says, Ha'osa tefillah so kev, that's a Mishnah, Ein tefillah so tachanunim. If you make your prayer into something rote, something fixed, it's not considered a proper plea before Hashem. So people say, I have a text in a siddur. That's rote as anything. What do you mean? To which the answer is, Shmona Esrei was never intended to be the maximum. Shmona Esrei was intended to be the minimum. To make sure that you say the minimum of what you're supposed to say. Then you are supposed to add. Whether you add an each bracha, or whether you add a Shema Koleinu, whether you add at the end an Elokai Netzor, there are different preferences. But Rabbeinu Tam says, go ahead, in each bracha, that's fine. Velo havi hefsek bracha klav. That's not an interruption. Umutter laharich bahenkein krovos tfilos uslichos shemasu lana rabosinu anshe Hashem. You could add in the krovos. Krovos is also known today as krovets, right? The krovets type of a piyut. Do they say them here? Clan Park, they say krovets.
The also on
Purim,
we say
it. Okay. The when people are
that's called krovets. Krovets are something else. That is sometimes some of the piyutim are provoked, some are not. Depending on which part of the piyutim in terms of yoshu, basically.
There we go. Yeah. So yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about the different types. But now we have someone who knows his piyutim. There we go. So you have these krovos, tfilos, lichos, shemasu, lana, raboseinu, anshe Hashem, which our great ancestors gave to us. Mimos, Shimon, Kippa, Sheyasa, Tzedos, Yom Kippur, from the days of Shimon, Kippa, who gave us the Seder of Yom Kippur, meaning the Avodah, Etein Tehila. It's not the Avodah, but it's the piyut that accompanies it. V'rabbi Elazar v'rabbi Kalir, Shahaya Tana, V'yasad Krovos l'moadei Hashana, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who was a Tana, and he established the Krovos for the holidays of the year. It's very interesting. I spent a year, my first year in the Shul Rabbinate, it was a part-time Shul Rabbinate, so therefore that meant, you know, full-time job, part-time salary, as the way it works. So I had a whole bunch of other things that I did. in order to, you know, feed us. So one of them was that I transcribed the all-day shiurim that Rav Soloveitchik used to do on Tisha B'Av. He would speak about the kinos all day long. And he would quote this about Rav Elazar HaKalir being, Rav Elazar Rishon being the Tana. And it always agitates me when I hear people say in his name that he said, well, maybe he wasn't really. I heard him black and white in the on the recordings with no hesitation say that that yeah, he believes that this is in fact true. This is a correct identification. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And now we'll see Rabbeinu Tam explain some of his basis for saying so. First of all, he gives us a basis for saying that that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was someone in Eretz Yisrael, not someone in Bavel. Umatzinu bekama mekomos. We found in various places bepiyutin shecholik al Talmud shalanu beofan shel Rosh Hashanah, that he disagreed with our Talmud, meaning with Bavli, in the ofan. Ofan is one of the types of piyutim. It's said with the line in Shachris veofanim v'chayos hakodesh. So you would then say this piyut along with it. So I'm not going to read through everything he has here because it's too long to go into, but I'm going to explain what he's talking about. In the piyut, he makes reference to the legs of the chayos being 515 away from the kisei, or 515 units in height. And if you look in the Bavli, that number is used in a different way. The 515 shows up in a different way. In the Yerushalmi, it shows up in the way that it's used in the piyut. So his point is to say, you can read through the lines and see it for yourself, his point is to say that there's a difference in the Bavli versus the Yerushalmi in the depiction of the height of the Chayos, and Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, as he does it in this Ofan, in this Piyut, sides with the Yerushalmi. And he says that's one example of how he goes with Yerushalmi against Bavli. I'm jumping now the third line from the end of this towards the beginning of the line where he says V'chein Iker. That's where he concludes the discussion about the 515. If I understood what the 515 meant, I would go through this inside. But otherwise, it's yeah. Kirov Duvarav Lefi Talmud Yerushalmi. Most of what he says matches the Yerushalmi. Ubi Amav Ayumekachin Al Pi Re'ia. In his day, they used to declare the new moon using witnesses, and the reason why he says this, Umei Eretz Yisrael Haya Mikiryat Sefer, from Israel, from Kiryat Sefer, Vetana Haya. The reason he stresses that is a point that he elaborates on elsewhere. He says, if you look at the piyutim created by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, you never find one for the second day of Yom Tov. He says, why is there none for the second day of Yom Tov? Because he lives in a place where they're not doing a second day of Yom Tov. They're doing one day of Yom Tov. That's his argument. And he says, Rayos Yesh, there is proof to that. Mida Amrinan, he quotes you now a medrash, it's in the Psikta, I believe. Kadamach Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon passed away, Pasa Alei Hahu Sabdana, the eulogizer began by saying, the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Mikol Avkas Rochel, from all of the powders, meaning the spices of the peddler, and he uses the pasuk to refer to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Dahavatana Vikara Darush Upaitan, which is explained by the Aruch, and he's saying it here as Baal Krovot. When it says Kara, it means he's a Baal Krovot. He is, we think it means, the author of these Krovot and Drushos and Piyutin Shmamina Biyamavayu Krovos. You see that already back then, they're doing the Krovos. Venerally, Rabbi Elazar Kaliri, who Rabbi Elazar Brashimon. There's more to be said about it. He tells a whole story about the different phases of Rabbi Elazar Brashimon's life and when it was that he learned and when it was that he was a Paitan. There's a longer discussion there. It's worth seeing it in the Matzer Vitri as well as in the Shibolei Aleket. The Goldschmidt Matzer is a very important Matzer to be aware of. And if you've ever seen a Goldschmidt Matzer, someone gave me one for my bar mitzvah, and I had no appreciation for it, of course, at the time. But I hung on to it, so now I appreciate it. You can actually find it online at HebrewBooks.org. That's the link that I gave you. The Goldschmidt Matzer, at least as I understand it, is the gold standard for Ashkenaz Matzorim, in the sense that it is so annotated you'll never really want to use it for davening. But it tells you the origins of each line and the variations that are found, and this is the way they say it in Poland, and this is the way they say it in Romania, and this is the way that they do it in this one and that one and whatever. Daniel Goldschmidt was the one who did all this work. And he has, in his introduction to the Matzer, he has a very good section on the piyutim, explaining where they come from, explaining the different varieties of piyutim, going a little bit into the debates without great depth, but it gives you Maamar Makomos. Much of what I know about it comes from just looking up the references and then the references that come from the references from his work. So very worthwhile thing to look at. So he, Goldschmidt, says the use of Hebrew, as well as the ties to the Medrash Agada that is first canonized in Israel during that period of the Tanaim, leads him to believe, as Rabbeinu Tam does, that Piyutim already start back then. The oldest of the Piyutim may be the Krova. And here we come back to the Krova, Krovot, that were mentioned before. There were two kinds of Krovot. One kind that went into each bracha of Shemona Esrei. So each bracha of Shemona Esrei had a piyut that would go with it. And the other were kedushtot, which were bracha, which for the brachas that lead up to kedusha. You have that's what gives them their name. Goldschmidt says, and I think it makes sense, that the name Krova comes from the Yerushalmi. If you take a look at source number 4, this is talking about bowing at Motim in context. Tana, Rabbi Chalapta ben Shaul said, Hakol shochin im shliach tzibur behoda'a. Everybody bows, along with the chazan, at Motim. Okay, the chazan in the Chazaras HaShat, the petition of Shemona Esrei, he bows and everybody bows as well. Rabbi Zeira Amar Ubilvad b'modim. Rabbi Zeira says you only bow for the word modim. You don't bow the whole time. And yet, Rabbi Zeira Savar Lekarova Kedei Lasuach or Lashuach Imo Tchila Vasof. That line requires explanation. So the Pnei Moshe, which I brought you there on the sheet, but I'll explain it outside. The Pnei Moshe explains that Krova. Actually, I'll read you the opening part of it, because that's the part that's relevant. Krova hu ha-piyut sha'omim b'sha'as chazaras ha-shatz b'modim. He said, Krova refers to what we call modim d'rabanan. That's a piyut. Ha, you were saying piyut to me, you never knew it, every single day. The modim d'rabanan is a piyut. It's meant to be said by the community when the chazan is saying modim, and what he explains here, he goes through it. That what?
Is
that it's in the Gemara. Yeah, absolutely. But they don't use that magic word. They don't use the piyut term for it. But what the Pnei Moshe says is that Krova is a term for the piyut that is being said there, and that what Rabbi Zera is doing is that he is stalling in the saying the piyut, because he wants to, even though he says you only have to bow in the beginning, he wants to bow beginning and end with the chazan. So therefore, he lengthened his modim d'rabbanan. When you see people who bow in the beginning and end of modim d'rabbanan, now you know what the origin is. It's this Yerushalmi. So you have this krova as distinct from the term krovets. Classically, what do we assume krovets is a reference to?
What it stands for?
Oh, no, what it stands for. Right. It's an acronym of Kol Rinavi Shua Be'ahalei Tzadikim, is what people like to say is the meaning of the term Krovets. I think Goldschmidt is skeptical about that as the origin of the word. But you had Ma'arivim. Ma'arivim were said in the Berachas Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv. You have then Yotzros Ofanim and Zulasos. Yotzos, Ofanim, and Zulasos. Looking at those words, when do you think those are said? Yotzos
is with the
Yotzos. Right, Yotzos is with the Yotzos. Ofanim, we already referred to, right? The Ofanim, Mechayos HaKodesh. And Zulasos is with Ein Elokim Zulasecha. Berchos Kriya Shema, after Shema. So people are saying these piyutim in Berchos Kriya Shema. Each one is named for the bracha in which it is inserted. They had daily piyutim, think modim d'rabanan. They also have piyutim Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Noroim, and the special Shabboses, and so on. And different places developed different minhagim for when they would include the piyutim and when they would exclude the piyutim. So that, for example, the Zulasos, the Rokeach in source number 5, says we don't say Zulasos for Rosh Hashanah. Because here's something really interesting about what they would do when they would say a piyut. A piyut was not just something that you inserted into the davening and then moved on. you actually would alter the davening. You would take lines out in order to insert the piyut. So the Rokeach says, when we say Zulas in Emes V'Yatziv, we take out lines from Emes V'Yatziv, and that's a problem on Rosh Hashanah. Why is it a problem on Rosh Hashanah? So he explains, it's in source number 5. I brought the sources more so that you could see them and look at them as you choose, but if we actually read them aloud, we're never going to actually, you know, get anywhere. So I'm not going through them line by line. But what the Rokeach said is that if you look at creation in Bereishis, you find the word MS 6 times. Where do you find the word MS in Bereishis? I wouldn't have found any of them. What he means is acronyms. Sofei Tevos. The initials at the end of words show up as, you know, it's Aleph Mem Tav. That tells you MS. He gives you the examples. Bara Elokim S. Right? That's one. MS. It's really fascinating that you have that many, and they're in order. They're not jumbled. Vayivra Elokim S. Vayar Elokim S. Vayivra Elokim S. Hataninim. Vayivra Elokim S. Ha'adam. Asher Bara Elokim Lasos. He says, you know, 6 times the word MS in the passage of creation. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, you better make sure you say MS 6 times in Emes V'Yatziv. How are you going to say it in 6 times in Emes V'Yatziv if you take part of it out in order to fit in your Zulas?
Rosh Hashanah?
Sorry? Because Rosh Hashanah is the day of creation. And then he says also for Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is completing Rosh Hashanah. So he says also leave it out on Yom Kippur. Another example of this is the Maharil, who mentions that Kol Rina Vishra Be'alei Tzadikim in source number 6. And the Maharil says, we omit the Krovets on Rosh Hashanah because it's not appropriate to have Simcha. Kol Rina Vishua is celebration. That's not appropriate for Rosh Hashanah. And then Piyutim were altered for a variety of reasons. Classic one. I don't know what they say here, but I'm assuming you say the Piyut Maaseh Elokeinu on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So you know those 2 lines that are done at the end when they close the Aron, right? What do they say for, what is the lead line for that?
Abel
Maaseh Enosh, right? So apparently, originally, it was verse by verse, Maaseh Elokeinu, Maaseh Enosh, Maaseh Elokeinu, Maaseh Enosh. It was contrasting, but they were afraid of the Jews who had gone over to the other side, who are going to rat us out to the secular authorities and tell the king, you know, the Jews in their shul on Rosh Hashanah, they talk about you as somebody feeble and sinful and temporary and all that. So therefore, what they did was they got rid of most of it and just kept in this little Maaseh Enosh section at the end. When people, the Chazan never leaves enough time to actually say the Maaseh Enosh. They close the Aron, you sit there, you say the first few words, and they close the and then they open the Aron again. They would alter them for various reasons. One thing that has always been controversial about Piyutim, this isn't only going to be a technical shiur about the Piyutim, but there's a message that I want to get from this. But the grammar of Piyutim has always been controversial. When I was growing up, I always was told that the odd grammar you find in Piyutim is poetic license. Right? It's supposed to fit the poem. It's supposed to be something that, you know, may not read exactly grammatically, but that's for the sake of enhancing the poem. You can play a little bit with words, alter them a little bit, yeah, and that's considered okay. Well, take a look at source number 7. Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra, somebody who is not known for mincing words, does not disappoint. In his comments on Piyutim to Kohelas, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. Anyone here know Kohelas well? You know what pasuk he's commenting on. Al tevahel es picha lachati es bisarecha. Do not hasten your flesh. Do not hasten your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. In other words, don't rush your words, lest you cause yourself to sin. So here, of all places, he decides he's going to tell us what he thinks about Piyutim. This is where, anybody ever see this before? This Ibn Ezra? I had never seen this before. This is one of those that I only saw by following the chain of Maror Hakamos. But wow, look at this. Uklal Omar, he says, I'm going to say the following rule. Yesh bepiyutei Rabbi Elazar akalir menuchaso kavod arba dvarim kashim. He says there are 4 problems with the piyutim of Rabbi Elazar akalir. Hadavar ha'echad, he says, my first problem with the piyutim of Rabbi Elazar akalir is kirubei piyutav chidos umishalim. Most of his piyutim are riddles, parables, which is true. The shiur last night from 11 to 12, we talked about the piyut of B'motzoi Menucha and the layers of meaning that are found in B'motzoi Menucha. So I don't even know if that's actually Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. I was going to look it up and check that. But the opening words, B'motzoi Menucha, should mean what? What's the literal read of B'motzoi Menucha? Matzah Shabbos, right. As Menucha is going out, as we are taking out Menucha, however you want to read the word Motza'eh, it's Lahotzi. However, there's another layer. It's about Motz'eh Menucha. Motz'eh Menucha means those who find Menucha, which in Tanakh is a reference to the Yonah. Right? At the Mabul, it's a reference to Rus, Umitzana Menucha, it's a reference to the Jewish people after the Chorban and Eicha. So layers and layers of hidden references are found in the Piyutim. And even Ezra says, what in the world did he do that for? V'lama lo nilmad mi Shlomo. You should learn from Shlomo HaMelech. When he does his tefillah, when he dedicates the Beis HaMikdash, Shaloi HaChacham Achor Kamohu, there's nobody as great as Shlomo after him, as wise as Shlomo. V'hina et tefillaso shispala mudas v'chol yodei alashunako. He says, you know, you can read that tefillah that he gives, and it's a beautiful tefillah. It's very simple, it's very straightforward. He tells you exactly what he means, and he's smarter than anybody else. So you can't tell me that he couldn't have come up with a deep poem, but he just wanted to daven. That's all he was doing. He wasn't creating codes. And then his second objection, and then now again, I'm going to just skip in the interests of time, but in his second objection, he says, the poems of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, these piyutim, have Gemara mixed into them. He says, what are you doing? Gemara's not Hebrew. He says, they name Lashon HaKodesh. This isn't Lashon HaKodesh. He says, why in the world are you including, flip the page, things that are in other languages? He says, Nehemiah criticized the Jews for speaking Lashon Ashdodit, the language of the people of Ashdod, when they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash. We assume it's the language of the people of Ashdod. That would be why we called Ashdodit. So he says, now during davening, you're going to go use some other language? Language of Madai Paras Edom Yishmael. And then third, he says, and this is the one that's directly relevant for us, V'adavar HaShlishi, third, Afilu HaMilos Shem B'Lashon HaKodesh Yesh Bem Tu'iyos Gedolos. Even when he does do Hebrew, he makes major mistakes. And he goes on to give you examples of things he doesn't like, mistakes that he finds in the Piyutim. He says, some tell me, Ein Meshivin Es HaRiach HaMoso. You're not allowed to answer the lion after he's dead. He says, absolutely not. Everybody gets judged equally, and if he made a mistake, I'm going to call him on it. And then his fourth objection is that it's filled with medrash and agadah, and he says, you're supposed to daven pshat. You're not supposed to be thinking about medrashim when you're davening. You're supposed to be davening simple words, no secrets, nothing embedded that people don't understand in the first place. So the Ibn Ezra is very upset regarding this. And the defenders of piyutim don't... the defenders of the piyutim don't disagree with Ibn Ezra. And they don't claim that it's poetic license. The defenders of the piyutim say, you're right, but not knowing diktuk isn't a crime. There's a tshuva of the Tashbetz, Hashem ben Zemel Duran, in source number 8, where somebody criticized some young Torah scholar saying he doesn't know diktuk. So the Tashbetz says, first of all, you should know, he converted to Judaism, he didn't grow up with a good Jewish education, he didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. That's number one in source number 8. He says, what do you want? Don't blame him. And then number 2, he says, don't pick on him for not knowing Diktuk. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is one of the great Tanaim. He didn't know Diktuk either. So there. I heard actually on Shabbos, I was talking to Rabbi Ziering about this issue, and he told me that he saw something, he thinks he saw it from Rabbi Mendelzach's, quoting Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, saying that the reason why they did the grammar in a different way was in order to distinguish between tefillah and piyut. To make sure everybody would be able to know, okay, these are piyutim and these are tefillos. Okay, that's a limud zchus. The bottom line out of this, and what I wanted to show you is, number one, the ancient character of the piyutim. We're talking about something that, as far as the Rishonim were concerned, went back to the Tanoim. It is apparently rooted in Eretz Yisrael, and you already see that we have two schools of thought. One school that says we should have these beautiful, ornate, intricate poems, and don't worry about it. And then one school of thought expressing frustration with it and saying, why in the world are people saying this? This is foolishness. It's interrupting the brachos. It doesn't belong. And that leads me to the second phase, which is the question of, are we allowed to include piyutim within our davening? Is it appropriate to include piyutim within tefillah? So this revolves around, let's say, two passages of Gemara. Take a look, please, at source number 9. By the way, what time do you have to leave for Marav? Because I want to make sure I know going in. So 9:30 is when Marav starts. Okay. So source number 9, Mishnah and Brachos, which I am going to read the conventional way, alerting you that there's another way to read it. But the conventional way you read this Mishnah. B'shachar mevarech shtayim lefaneha ve'achas le'achareha. In the morning, you say two brachos before Kriya Shema and one after Kriya Shema, right? That's familiar to us. Yotam Oros, Ava Rabba, Ava Solom, whatever your addition. And afterwards you say Gaal Yisrael. Uva Erev, and in the evening, Shtayim Lefanea, two first, Hamari Barabim, Ohevamo Yisrael, and Shtayim Lachrea, and then two afterwards, right? Gaal Yisrael and Shemamo Yisrael, I'd leave out Baruch Hashem La'olam, that's a separate innovation. Achas arucha ve'achas kitzara. One is long and one is short. Right? Usually what we understand that to mean is Gaal Yisrael is a long one. It starts with this whole MS Vemuna. Hashkivenu is a short bracha, right? That's the usual way to read this Mishnah. If you open up a Gehazi, I think that's the way you'll read him using it, Bartinu, or whoever you like. Makom sha'amru laharich eno rashi lekatzer. Where bracha is supposed to be extended, you're not allowed to shorten it. Lekatzer, where they say to shorten it, eno rashi laharich, you're not allowed to make it long. Don't tamper with the bracha. So you already know where this is going. Right? Piyutim are extending the brachos. That's one Gemara, or Mishnah, really. The other one is source number 10. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav lo b'shalosh rishonos lo b'shalosh achronos. You're not supposed to make requests in the opening fi brachos of Shemona Esrei or in the closing fi brachos of the Shemona Esrei, right? Like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, the first three are the Shevach, praise of Hashem, and the last three are supposed to be Hodah, you're supposed to be thanking Hashem. You don't make requests in the opening three and the closing three. And he quotes Rabbi Chanina about the attitude that one has during the opening and closing brachos. And the problem that you have is the piyutim that are introduced in the opening brachos plead with Hashem for things. What are they doing in the opening brachos? Even the basic line that we include, Zachreinu L'chayim and Michamocha, are requests. Who stuck those into the lines of the Shemona Esrei? Source number 10 is an explicit Gemara in brachos. It's passing that way to halacha. What are we doing? So the defense for lengthening the short brachos is brought by Rabbeinu Tam with a very interesting reread of the Mishnah that we read in source number 9. Hachi Perusha. I brought you one line out of Rabbeinu Tam. He does this at length. Bein arucha, bein kitzara. When the line says whether long, I'm sorry, the meaning is bein arucha, bein kitzara. In other words, when it says achas arucha ve'achas kitzara, it isn't saying one of your brachas should be long, one of your brachas should be short. That's not what it's saying. Rather, what it's saying is achas arucha ve'achas kitzara, whether it's a long bracha or it is a short bracha, meaning a kol bracha bracha koi, it's referring to all brachos that we have. Valarishonos Pirishkin, he's referring back to the brachos that he mentioned there. And he gives you a quote then from the Gemara in Ksuvos, Achas Besula Va'achas Be'ula. That's another example of Achas Achas, meaning either this or that. And he says, also he gives you a holy tzivamos, fine. Umakom sha'amru lekatzer eino rashay laharich ha'u mishana kibirkas aperos or mishna kibirkas aperos kibirkas amitzos. He says, the way to read the Mishnah is that it's saying, in the evening you make two brachos before, two brachos after, whether long or short. And then separately, when a bracha is supposed to be a long bracha, don't shorten it. It's supposed to be a short bracha, like Berachas Aperos, Berachas HaMitzvos, right? Baruch Hashem Kevalam, Baruch Priya Eid, something like that. Then you're not supposed to alter it. But it's not talking about Berachas Kriya Shema. That's his point. They're not talking about lengthening or abbreviating Berachas Kriya Shema per se. And what they're saying is, in general, you're not supposed to extend brachas that are short, but a bracha that is short is talking about Baruch Priya Gafen. A bracha that is short is, you know, Lahadlik Ner Hanukkah, not the brachos in tefillah. That's where Rabbeinu Tam rereads the Mishnah in source number 9. He says, you're reading the line wrong. That's the problem. It's being misinterpreted. And indeed, before Rabbeinu Tam ever came on the scene, in the 9th century, Rav Natronoi Gaon said this. It's not Rabbeinu Tam standing alone here against those who don't like piyutim. Rav Natronoi Gaon, in source number 12, is asked, Ha'omrin piyutim ba'avos uvuros u'b'chol tfilo, tfilo b'chol regel v'regel me'inyano, u'marvim bodivrei agadu v'teshabavu v'purim. This is the question. People say these piyutim. Question mark. That's the way the Gaon, if you ever read Shuvos of the Gaon, and they're a lot of fun, because they don't tell you exactly what's going on. You have to do detective work. So, that was your question. People say these piyutim. And his answer, Im omer b'chol bracha u'bracha me'eino sabracha, if they say in each bracha, the theme of that bracha, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Ritzu, Yerushalayim, Tishrei, Churban HaBayis, as long as they keep on the point of the bracha, harshus b'yadam, that's fine. The essence is that you say the beginning of the bracha properly, the end of the bracha properly. You sum up the bracha right before you're closing. But as long as you do that, he says, go ahead. He's good with that. And then he goes on to mention a couple of piyutim that he doesn't like. So that's in terms of the concern about lengthening the short brachos. We can do away with that concern. As far as the concern of making requests in the opening three and the closing three, so I didn't actually bring it on the sheet, I'm not sure why, but Rabbeinu Gershom quotes various Gaonim, as well as Rabbeinu Chananel, saying, Rabbeinu Chananel says it as well, that it's incorrect to say you're not allowed to insert requests in the opening and closing brachas of Shemona Esrei. After all, what are the themes of the three closing brachas of Shemona Esrei? The three last brachas of Shemona Esrei. Work your way backwards.
Peace.
Sim Shalom. Is Sim Shalom thanks and praise of Hashem? It's a request. Sim Shalom. We're asking for things. It's not really true that those are purely thanks to Hashem without requests. I know, we learned that in grade school, but it's not true. We've been davening it ever since and just assuming that what they told us in school was correct. The what's actually happening there, yes, it's true, there is praise of Hashem and there is thanks of Hashem in these brachos, but you're allowed to make communal requests. As long as it's for the sake of the tzibur, it's okay. When the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehuda says in source number 10, you're not supposed to ask, that's tzarcha yachid, that's your own needs. Your own needs belong in the middle. But for the community, zachreinu l'chaim, go right ahead. There's nothing wrong with inserting a plea on behalf of the community. So from a technical perspective, each side has its points. But the debate goes beyond the technical to the question of what are you doing to davening when you insert piyutim? What do you accomplish when you insert piyutim? And this is where the Rambam comes into play. In source number 13, the Rambam says, again, you get this question being put to him, Sheila v'yorenu hadraso, ha-kedusha, ha-mutter li-mispala la-hafzik b'na bracha, sorry, maybe it's hadraso, ha-kedusha, ha-mutter li-mispala la-hafzik b'na bracha shekanu kriyashma, are you allowed to interrupt in birchos kriyashma to insert these new piyutim? Or, by the way, can you make a bracha on your tzitzis during that time? And the Rambam's answer is, as far as the piyutim part, he says, la-hafzik b'nayim b'davermen of piyutim hu mishgev et talos gemura. Right, tell us what you really think. He says, it is a complete and total mistake. In source number 14, the Rambam goes to town on it saying, these are bakashos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What business do you have making requests on Shabbos and Yom Tov? He says, absolutely not. And he says, if you look at the fourth line in source 14, he says the only person who's going to disagree with what I'm telling you is someone who will disagree with that something he sees right in front of his eyes. He says this is clear that this is not appropriate. And then he writes something that's very important, the line that I think you have to remember. He says, just like davening is a really important avodah, Kach kiu mitzvaso yisale. So too is the honor, is the fulfillment of his mitzvos. Lechabed yamim shekivdom, to honor the days that Hashem honored. Shiyu nehugim kifisha kava, that they should be conducted in the way that Hashem established. Hi ha'avoda hayoser nichbada. That is the highest form of avoda of Hashem. Vehu sheyiyu shabasos l'menucha moedim l'simcha. He says, don't insert piyutim which plead with Hashem for help. You're ruining Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos and Yom Tov are supposed to be days of celebration. You can have people in shul. Bad enough we say Yizkor, right? There's a whole Torah of why we say Yizkor on Yom Tov. V'achre simcha tuka and so forth. But the Rambam says, you're ruining Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then again, right? This is what I meant when I said, I think people are just asking him because they want to go to the Rambam into saying something sharp. They have to know what his position is. In source number 15, he says, Ela brachos kulan yesh ben shinui mimatbeya habrachos. He says, you're changing the form of the brachos. Vehein misug hachizun hamafursam b'chol ha'aratzos. He says, you know what this is? This is just the cantors having fun. That's what they're doing. It is not based on anything from Talmidei Chachamim. You can't do it. And then, take a look at source number 16, because here he adds a new point, which is one that's most relevant in our day. After going through the point about not changing the matbeya of the bracha, right, not adding to the brachos, he says, if you jump to the third line in source number 16, the middle of the line, v'nosafim lazeh, in addition to the fact that they're adding things that don't relate to davening, mishkalam v'nigunam, they add in the meter and they add in the tunes, v'yotzeis hatfilam migeder tfila v'naseis lischok. Davening stops being davening. It becomes a joke. V'zo hasiba hayoser gedola l'chisaron ha'kavana. He says, you want to know why people don't have kavana? Blame it on the piyutim. V'sheha hamon mekilim rosh l'socheach be'emtza tefillah. He says, you want to know why people talk during davening? It's because there are piyutim. L'vishim ragishim she'elu adrom ha'nemar meinim mechuyavim. Because they think, well, this thing doesn't need to be said. Now, you have to remember one key point. Who is saying piyutim in the days of the Rambam? Who in shul is saying the piyut? Only the chazan. So everybody else is standing there. They don't know the words. They don't have a machzor in front of them. They're just standing there. So what do you think happens? They all start talking to each other. And then he goes on saying they're written by poets and they're not the words of Talmidei Chachamim and so on. And he says, you don't really understand what you're saying. And so on and so forth. The Rambam is very against. Ibn Ezra, I come back to Ibn Ezra in source number 17. He says, Amar Avram Machaber, Hine Nao Alti Ladaber. He says, and I want you to read this carefully, because what he says here is actually, I think, critical. He says, since the honor of Hashem fills every place, and you can't be careful of Hashem's honor everywhere, that's why you have a particular location where you daven called shul. V'chayev l'chabdo, and you have to honor it. Gam chayev hu ha'adam l'hodos l'shabach l'elokav b'chol rega. And a person is obligated to praise Hashem at every moment. Ki chazdo imo b'chol chalkei ha'rega. At every split instant, Hashem's chesed is with us. He keeps us alive. He gives us the pleasures of our sensations. Rak b'avur ha'yos ha'adam mis'asek b'iskei ha'olam. But because we're involved in the affairs of this world, husam lozman she'ispalo bo, therefore we have fixed times when we're told to daven, times that we know about, right? Erev, Boker, Tzarayim, times that anybody can identify, and therefore he says in the middle of the fourth line, Al kein chayav adam sheyispalel sheyishmor pischei biv. Therefore you have to guard the entrances of your mouth. V'yachshov belibo shu omei lifnei hamelech. You have to think, I'm standing before the king. He has the power of life and death. Al kain aser sheyispalel adam v'yachnis b'sof tefilasu piyutim lo yada eager pirusham. He says, that's why I don't like piyutim, because you don't know what you're saying. You can't just say, well, you know what, the initial intent of the composer was really good, because he knew what he was doing. He says, kain adam asher lo yechdo amatikim chadu. He says, because sometimes the poets made mistakes and sometimes the copyists made mistakes. There also is a separate idea. Rav Soloveitchik said, and I don't know where this is in the Rambam, maybe it's in the Mora, and I didn't look, that the Rambam had an objection because some of the piyutim describe Hashem in ways that the Rambam feels are inappropriate. So there may be that objection separate from all the objections that we're talking about here. But this is the objection that you see in the Rambam. The objection you see in the Ibn Ezra is that it's a technical objection. This doesn't belong. It's ruining Shabbos and Yom Tov. And as well, the substantive objection of it's ruining Tefillah. This isn't what davening was meant to be. Whereas, look at number 18. Rabbeinu Tam, in response, writing very sharply, V'tameh al atzmecha. He says, you should be shocked, l'fi divrei ha-semechim l'lo davar, at the words of those who rejoice over nothing, meaning people who think they found something, and ah, ha, ha, we got them. Pe'utos, children, right? Pe'utos is a term in the Gemara for people who are underage, but they have some little bit of seichel. So they're pe'utos, toin b'pshutos, they make a mistake on simple matters. V'chi lo yadu gedolei ador, had lo yishal adam tzracha, but the gedolim didn't know this business about not adding in your own requests. Vod sherichu em yosem em tzayos, and the fact that they made the initial brachos of Shemoneh Esrei longer than the middle brachos with all the things they added in. You think they didn't know? Ela pashut bayom, and I think it should probably be pashut kayom, shenachon laharbos b'shivcho shalmakom, it is right to increase the praise of Hashem. And the requests for the community's needs. Ubishalosh Rishonos Yozer, and more in the first brachos. Zachreinu, Michamocha, Vachete Pachtacha, Seder Akdusha, and all of those. That's the appropriate thing that you are supposed to do, he says. And the reason I am emphasizing this is because we have to think about what they're debating about. When people today object to piyutim, what's their objection? What are they objecting to? Sorry?
Too long.
People who object to piyutim, and I don't want to overgeneralize, so maybe I should say this a little bit differently. Many people who object to piyutim object because they don't like davening. They would like to be out of davening as early as they possibly can be. And piyutim are holding them up. And therefore they want to get out and they want to go home. And if I could just cut this stuff out, which I don't understand anyway, which I don't get. You know, we don't know grammar well enough to know their mistakes in the grammar. And that's not our problem. The problem that we have is that, you know, I just want to go home. I just want to have lunch. I just want to, I'll have my sefer and I'll have my shir. That's not what this is about for the Rambam and Ibn Ezra. The Rambam and Ibn Ezra loved tefillah. The Rambam and Ibn Ezra say, you're supposed to daven, you should be davening at every instant, and you should have kavana for your davening. Our objection to the piyutim is that it's hard to daven that way. They're not helping us to achieve what we want to achieve in tefillah. It's not an objection of, I hate tefillah, therefore let's shorten it. Let's abbreviate it. It's a statement of, I love tefillah, therefore let's focus on what was original to tefillah and do that part properly. And I think that's really important to understand in terms of what drives this debate between what really amounts to Rambam Ibn Ezra on one side, Gaonim, Rabbeinu Tam, Shibolei Haleket, and others in early Ashkenaz, Maharil, and so forth, on the other.
Don't you think of this element of Tefasta Merubah Lo Tefasta? He's saying, if you could put so much on people,
yeah,
they won't be able
to. Oh,
it's not just a matter of being, you know, not wanting to engage in davening. Right.
No, absolutely.
Not being able to maintain your concentration for hours.
Right. But I think that's true.
After hour six, you know, it's a little hard.
Correct. Absolutely. But I think what you're seeing here is a basic philosophical debate about how we approach tefillah, which you could probably extrapolate that we approach mitzvos in general. Right? How much can we expect of people? What is the best way for us to do this? Is it best for us to say, let's be spontaneous and add poetry and you can add more poetry and build it? Or is it best for us to say, let's be minimalists and at least get the minimum right? That's what this is really a debate about between the two different schools.
And this is the only thing we cut out during, like, when you finish, like, our young kid, or when a husband's too late for the break, is like, say, 2:30 or 3 o'clock,
yeah.
He always says, we cut out the can't cut out anything.
Well, they sometimes cut from the piyutim because that's, if you're going to cut something out, that's what's going to go. One last note. I'm not going to get to everything, but 19, I think this is the point behind what Rav Soloveitchik said in Halachic Man. Rav Soloveitchik, you know, is a fan of the Rambam. Look what he says. Halachic man never accepted the ruling of Maimonides opposing the recital of piyutim, the liturgical poems and songs of praise. Go forth and learn what the Mora, the guide, sought to do to the piyutim of Israel. Nevertheless, on the high holidays, the community of Israel singing the hymns of unity and glory reaches out to its Creator. And when the divine presence winks at us from behind the fading rays of the setting sun and its smile bears within it forgiveness and pardon, we weave a royal crown of praise for the Atik Yomin, the Ancient One. And in moments of divine mercy and grace, in times of spiritual ecstasy and exaltation, when our entire existence thirsts for the living God, we recite many piyutim and hymns and we disregard the strictures of the philosophical medrash concerning the problem of negative attributes, which names you can use for Hashem, that I mentioned before that the Rav says was also a concern for the Rambam. The halacha does not deem it necessary to reckon with speculative concepts and very fine, subtle abstractions on the one hand, and vague feelings, obscure experiences, inchoate affections, and elusive subjectivity on the other. It determines law and judgment in Israel. This is what we do. And what we do is we say the piyutim, and we find them a way, we find within them that which can draw us close to Hashem. The last three sources that I brought you are simply the Ramah, saying that we extend until Chatzos with piyutim on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishneh Brura, who says that if it's Shabbos, don't go past Chatzos. Other days, go for it, at least Chatzos. And then he says, only with piyutim, not with songs, not with tunes. He doesn't want you to do it just by singing, but you have to be saying words. But the Shari Tshuva says, therefore, call me she'efsher yesh lo likach p'nai lilmo pirush ha'piyutim lispalel. That means, it's what do you have to do? Sit down beforehand with a ma'aser. Learn the piyutim. The solution is not, let's cut them out. The solution is learn them and come to understand what it is that we're supposed to get out of them. That's really the important message here. There's more to be said, but hopefully this gives us some grounding in the issue of beauty.